So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Text Number 17. Ajimil, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Taish Tani Aghani Puyante Tapo Dana Vrata Devi Nadharmajam Tad Dridayam Tad Api Sangri Shevaya Taishtani Agani Punyate Tapodana Vrat Adibi Nadamajam Tat Hridayam Tadapi Shangri Shevaya Taishtani Agani Punyate Tapodana Vrata Dibi Nadamajam Tat Hridayam Tadapi Shangri Sevaya Taistani Agani Punyate Tapodana Vrata Dibi Naha Dharma Jam Takirdayam Tadapi Shangri Sevaya. Taistani Agani Punyante Tapodana Vrata Dibi Naradadunta Kirdayam Tarapiyang Visevaya Tani Agni Poyante Naprata Dibi Madamajam Tatirdayam Tarapiyang Visevaya Punyante Tapodana Prata Dibi Nadama Chanta Gitayam Kisevaya Taistani Agani Punyante Tapodana Prata Dibi Natamajam Takidayam Tadapi Shangri Sevaya Taistani Agani Punyante Tapodama Prata Dibi Natharmajam Takidayam Tadapi Shangri Sevaya. The messages. Taistani Agani Punyante Tapodana Vrata Dibi Nardamajam Tadhidayam Tadapi Shangri Sevaya. By those, Tani, of all those agani, sinful activities and their results, pujante, becomes vanquished, tapaha, austerity, dana, charity, vrata adibi, by vows and other such activities. Adharmajam, produced from irreligious actions. Tat, of that. Hirdayam, the heart. Tat, that. Api, also. Ishangri, of the lotus feet of the Lord. Shevaya, by service. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Please repeat. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11-42, Bhaktihi pareshanu bhavo virakir anyatra cha. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful, because material desires means sense gratification, which always involves the action that is more or less sinful. Pure bhakti, however, is anyabhilashita shunya. In other words, it's free from material desires, which is a result from karma and gyan, One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although one's austerities, penances and charity may free one from sin for the time being, one's desires will reappear because his heart is impure, and thus he will act sinfully and suffer. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalaka Yotakshuran Militandina Tashmahashi Naveen Mahajaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garatha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So here, the glorifying the process of bhakti, the potency and power of bhakti. And it says, Prabhupada saying, the purport, devotional service is so powerful, the one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. So, what is sinful? Prabhupada gives the definition of sin. The Christians, they like to talk about sin, the original sin. What is the original sin? Today is the appearance day of Jesus Christ, so a little bit of Christianity bit there. I was going to speak something more from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but different here. Anyway. Prabhupada's definition of sin. Sarvadanam parityaja mamikam saranam raja aham tam sarva papibyo. Sin. In this verse, Krishna is saying that if you surrender everything to me, become my devotee, then I will protect you from all sinful activities. So Prabhupada said, Krishna here is given a definition of sin. If you surrender unto, Krishna says, if you surrender unto me, I'll take away the sin. This means any activity that is performed not in surrender to Krishna is a sin. Definition of sin is given by Prabhupada and Krishna himself. So, even in the mode of goodness, it's sinful. We know the lower modes, people are sinful, they're kept in the lower modes of nature. But those who perform austerities, piety, etc., they rise to the mode of goodness, they become Brahman. But even the mode of goodness is contaminating. It's pure than tamagun, it's pure than rajagun, but still it's contaminated in the sense that it keeps the living entities bound up in the material world still. Krishna says, Prabhupada says in Gita, that they become attached to the mode of goodness. They get a sense of being better than anyone else, where they are. They're more elevated, they have much more good qualities. But that sense of being better than anyone else, it keeps them bound up in the material world. They're attached to this lifestyle of goodness, the Brahmanical lifestyle. But unless one goes beyond the identifying oneself as a Brahmana and actually comes to the point of identifying oneself as a Vaishnava and worshipping Lord Vishnu for Vishnu's satisfaction, then you are remaining sinful in the mode of goodness even. You'd have to take a rebirth in the mode of goodness, in another situation where you take a birth in the mode of... Rebirth means sinful. The material world is a sinful. As long as you're in the material world, you're transmigrating. Everything is sinful here. The original cause of our being here is sin. We have a sinful desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Prabhupada said, this is the original sin. Krishna's often asking about the original. This is the original sin. That we desire to enjoy like Krishna. We wanted to imitate Krishna. Enviousness of Krishna. That's the original sin. And therefore, the whole cosmic manifestation becomes manifested to cater for our sinful desires. That's how kind Krishna is. Sinful people in the material world, you get sent to prison. But Krishna, a person who wants to be imitating him, he creates a place where he can enjoy it. He can imitate Krishna. That's Krishna's kindness. Of course, it's a little bit different from the eternal spiritual world. It's a temporary world full of suffering of birth and death. But anyway, Krishna's creation is so great, and Krishna's illusion is so great, and Krishna himself is so great that everybody thinks, oh, you know, I'm quite happy here. He made it such a nice arrangement that we can fulfill our desires of being the Lord. But by the grace of bhakti or bhakta, then one actually comes to the point of understanding his situation in the material world, and he becomes a devotee, worships Krishna, and he transcends the even the mode of nature, modes of material nature goodness, Shuddha Sattva. And there he engages in bhakti or devotional service to Krishna. So therefore, the power of bhakti is much more far greater than the pious activities of punya or atonement, doing activities for atonement. The process of devotional service is so powerful, it's far, far more powerful than any other activity of atonement, which only partially works. The atonement, it may free of one's sins that like are happening now or will be performed now, but they don't get rid of the sinful desire in the heart, and because of that those sins come up again when the time is right, when the situation is right, when your karma is right, then Krishna will present this situation and he will bring out that desire, oh yes, this is how I wanted to enjoy it. And Krishna's created the situation, and like this the living entities are bewildered because, and then they do pious activities to get rid of that sinful desire, but they don't get rid of the desire in the heart. They just get rid of the, atone for the sinful activity they performed. like this, everyone is being bound up. So here is the process is actually bhakti. And here it says it immediately becomes freed. We have to accept these statements when Krishna immediately becomes free from sinful desires. Prabhupada says, yeah, pure bhakti, however, is anyabhilashunyam, anlasita-shunyam. In other words, it's free from all material desires which result from karma and gyan. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Because he surrendered his life to Krishna, as Krishna said, Aham tam sarva papi bhu, I'll take that sinful away, I'll take it away. Atonement means you're paying so much atonement for getting rid of your activity. It means some austerity, some penance must be there to do that. Hard work to atone for that. But for the devotee, he's not really interested in atoning for his sinful activity. He's interested in serving Krishna. So he doesn't worry about atonements or anything like that. He worries about Krishna. So the subject matter is Krishna. The subject matter of the pious person is his eradication of his sinful desires, which is material. But the subject matter of the devotee is Krishna's service. He knows he's the most simple. He knows that. But he doesn't stop serving Krishna. And that's all he does. He serves Krishna. In fact, if he stops his devotional service and performs prayas chitta, he makes seva aparad. Because he stopped his service to perform some pious. Also, nam aparad is there. Because he stops his service thinking that some can't. Was it that? One of the offenses of the holy name, to think that the holy name is equal level with the karmakanda sections of the Vedas. So you do the activity of atonement, it's a karmakanda activity. So that's, you're not taking complete shot of the holy name, you're putting your faith in some karmakanda activity of atonement. So it becomes nam aparad and seva aparad. So even in its activity in the mode of goodness, it's actually nama aparad, seva aparad. Gopal Bhatta Goswami says in his introduction to the Kriya Sarati Pika that those that worship of the demigods, worship of the Pitras, the forefathers, worship of the demigods, offering tarpon, offering shraddha ceremonies, all of these things are not necessary. For a person who has taken shelter of Vishnu in the bona fide sampradaya and has received the bona fide process of bhakti, all these other processes are not necessary for him. Nowhere in the scriptures it mentions. But otherwise, if you're not a bhakta, if you're not a devotee of Krishna, Vishnu, then you're obligated to perform pious activities. You have to. Otherwise you're considered sinful. But these are for persons who are not initiated into the holy names of the Lord from a bona fide sampradaya. But he also says, but even if a devotee, even by accident or forgetfulness, he performs these ceremonies, he makes namaparad and sevaparad, because he stopped his service to do a karmakanda activity. And he's taken shelter of karmakanda activity, means namaparad, not having complete faith in So this is how implicated this material world is. But for a devotee, he skips all that. He doesn't have to worry about all that. He just surrenders to Krishna. He knows he's sinful. Tati nupam kam verse. He knows he's sinful. He knows he's suffering right now from the reactions of his past activities. He's not blaming anyone else. He's blaming... This is the way it's happening. I performed these sinful activities in the past. That's why I'm suffering at the moment. This is the devotee's attitude. But it's not going to stop my or interfere with my service to Krishna. That will go on under any circumstance, no matter what comes. Even death comes, still it won't interfere with my service to Krishna. So this is the attitude of a devotee. He's fully dependent on and completely surrendered unto Krishna. And so, therefore, the activities of the material world don't touch him. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires, and therefore he's beyond all material desires. Yudhisthira, Krishna told him, you should tell a lie that Ashwatthama the elephant is dead. Or Yudhisthira said, how can I do that? I cannot tell a lie, Krishna. He was horrified. He'd never told a lie in his life. Imagine that. Never told a lie in his life, and now Krishna's telling you someone's got to tell a lie. And plus he wasn't an ordinary person. He was the emperor of the world. He had a great responsibility. Well, he was soon to be the emperor of the world, at least. But he had a great responsibility to the citizens. He was the king. And so he wanted to maintain his dharma. And everybody likes the king who's very pious and never told a lie. We would love that. So he had to maintain that prestige of being a great king. The duty of the king is to make the citizens happy in all respects. They're happy when they got such a king like that. Now Krishna is telling him, tell a lie. And because Yudhisthira was known as Dharmaraj, never told a lie. When he said that, Dharmaraj, Ashwatthama, Krishna said, you say it, whisper. So he said, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. So then they heard, Ashwatthama is dead. They didn't hear the elephant part, but the elephant named Ashwatthama was killed. So he whispered. Anyway, Yudhisthira's chariot fell on the ground. He was like a demigod. His chariot didn't actually touch the ground. He was off the ground, you know. The demigods come, they don't walk on them, they're a little bit above. So he was just like a demigod. He was so powerful, materially. Then his chariot crashed on the ground. Now, some people say that the reason for this is because he told a lie. He never told a lie in his life. He told a lie and he was Dharmaraj. Therefore, he lost his piety. But the Vaishnava said, no, that's not the reason. The reason he hesitated to execute Krishna's order. When Krishna told him, tell Ashwatthama is dead, tell a lie. He hesitated for a moment. That was his sin. Therefore, he's lost his piety for that activity. So, devotional service. How come it sanctifies a person so much that he's not at all contaminated by the material world, even the mode of goodness? It's so powerful. Otherwise, material desire should be completely stopped. Otherwise, all one's austerities, penance, and charities may be free from sin for the time being. One's desires will reappear because the heart is not pure, and thus he will act sinfully and he will suffer again. So here is pointing out the process of bhakti, the greatness of the process of bhakti, that the idea is that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. Majivaya Shurupaya Nitya Krishna. This is our constitutional position. Naham Bhitcho Narapati Na Vaishana Shudra, I'm not a Brahmana Kachya Vaisha Shudra, Bana Prasanyas, Grihastha, Brahmachari. Oh, what is my identification? I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant, of the master of the gopis, Shri Krishna. Oh, this is our identity. Mahaprabhu has given us our identity. We are the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Gopinath. Gopi Pariyokamaloa Das. Gopi. I am the servant of the master of the gopis. Master means not, gopi means gopi. Gopinath. So Gopinath is our Ishtadeva. He is our worshipful deity. He is our yes, we are his servant. That is whose servant we are. The eternal servant of Gopinath, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu has given us our identity. So this is how we're identifying ourselves, as a servant of the servant. That means we're a servant of Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis. So Gopinath, therefore, he becomes our Payojana deity for ISKCON, or the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The supreme worshipful form of the Lord becomes Gopinath. Therefore, we have the Madana Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. These are these three deities. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Prayojana means the final goal. So that final goal is Gopinath. So this is actually our identity as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are the servant of the servant of Gopinath. Here is Radha Gopinath. Krishna is surrounded by his gopis. We know as Madhava, but he is. What we see is Gopinath. So Prabhupada established here Astashakti, so we can see, yes, he is Gopinath. So the idea is that we, a person is taken to this process of bhakti or devotional service, or that is his constitutional nature, that's his constitutional position. So when you're situated in your constitutional position, what, nothing else can touch you. You're perfectly situated. Because these activities of devotion are eternal. So we're performing devotional service now. When we leave, we go back home, back to Godhead, nothing changes. We still perform devotional service. Whereas the idea of being a Brahmin and performing prayas, chittas, etc. like that, that's constantly changing. Every birth they will change, or at least after some births they will change. That will go on. But the devotee, he's situated in his constitutional position. So what goes on in the spiritual world is what he's performing here. The world becomes like Vaikuntha when you become a devotee and chant Hare Krishna. So devotional service puts one in the atmosphere of Vaikuntha. So how can the modes of material nature touch him? He doesn't even have to worry about the modes of material nature. He can forget about them. He just remembers Krishna and serves Krishna. That's all he has to do. So therefore he becomes purified because the modes of material nature cannot touch him. Bhakti and Mukti actually wait as servants at the lotus feet of devotees, but they don't give them any attention. The devotee takes complete shelter of Krishna. It doesn't mean that material nature stops working on them. Material nature is still active, but the devotee has no interest. He only sees Krishna. So he doesn't give any attention to the modes of material nature. Bhakti Mukti, which everybody wants in this world, they wait. It says they wait at the feet of the devotee with folded hands. How we can serve you? We can do some sadhu seva. You are my, you have surrendered your life, we want to serve you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the devotees said, they kick them away with their feet. What the whole world is running after, the enjoyment of bhakti or mukti, the devotees kick away with their feet. They don't care. But still they come back, the bhakti mukti don't go away. They still, no, we will, anyway, even if you kick us away with your lotus feet, we will still wait, we will still, anytime you want service, we are ready to serve you. But the devotee doesn't give any attention to the material activities. He simply gives attention to his devotional service. And therefore he becomes completely aloof from the modes of material nature and all the different interactions. Whereas someone else, the jnanis, the yogis, they want to become free also from the modes of material. But look at the austerities and penances they have to perform to do that. Devotee doesn't have to do all these things. He simply engages himself in devotional service. And therefore he sits situated rightly. So, Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur also gives some more information on this. He's quoting from the 10th sloka, actually. And he says that the name of the Lord may destroy sins, but how can Namabhasha be an atonement for thousands of grave sins which cannot be destroyed by thousands of 12-year vows of ratas? Chanting is the best atonement since it destroys the root of sin. A 12-year vow of atonement, although it destroys the effect of sin, cannot destroy the root of sin. That is not the only result, because from chanting the name of the Lord's mind dwells on that person who chants. The Lord thinks, this person belongs to me, and I will always protect him. So here is something extra that the devotees have, that the jnanis and the yogis, they don't have. They're difficult, they're struggling, they're all alone. But here, when one takes to the process of devotional service and chants the holy name, Krishna notices. Who's chanting my name? Who's chanting? Who's looking? He's looking. Who's chanting my name? The Lord's mind dwells on that, but he thinks about that person. Oh, that person, he's chanting my name, he's always chanting my name. Krishna's always thinking of the devotee. This is the special benediction. The yogis won't get this. And the Lord thinks this person belongs to me because he's chanting my names, because he is one of my, he's turning to me, he's one of my children. I will always protect him. So here, the goal of the jnanis is, and yogis is ultimately it's to reach God. But that very God who they're very trying so hard, and who's fantastukoti vatsara sampragamya mayuratati manaso munipangam, there you travel at the speed of mind for billions of years like the jnanis and the yogis, still you cannot approach the effulgence of the toenails of the lotus feet of Krishna. They cannot, it's very difficult to approach, but Krishna is thinking of his devotees. Krishna thinking, this person belongs to me. Krishna thinking, I will protect him. And the devotee is simply absorbed in the service of Krishna. So he gets all that help from Krishna. The source of for the jnanis and the yogis, that very source is looking after the devotee. He's not far away. He's coming to the devotee. He's serving the devotee. He wants to serve the devotee. The servants of Vishnu said, hearing his name being chanted and remembered, Ajamil, and hearing his name being chanted and remembering Ajamil, the Lord ordered us to bring Ajamil, who was chanting the holy name of the Lord. So Ajamil was chanting Narayana, and what did Narayana was hearing that? Then he said, oh, he's calling my name. So he sent these Vishnu dutas, go and get him, he's calling my name. So he's getting so much help. The jnanis and yogis are all alone, but Krishna is personally helping the devotees. He orders the Jamadutas, go and get him, he's my devotee. How easy he's making. So, then how much more the Lord will remember a person who chants the holy name with a service attitude. Ajamil was chanting for his son, he was calling his son's name. Yet Narayan said, oh, my devotee is calling my name, go and get him. He sent someone to get him. So what to speak of those who have a proper devotional service attitude for Krishna. They're not calling their son's name, but they're calling out of love for Krishna. If Lord Narayan is personally sending his servants to bring someone back with Namabhas, what to speak of those who are pure devotional service? Krishna says, I come myself. He doesn't send these Vishnu dutas. Krishna says, I come myself. In Bhagavad Gita, I come myself. Riding on Garuda, I pick him up. Then how much more the Lord will remember a person who chants the Lord's name with a service attitude? This is the implication. To show this to the servants of Jamaraj, the servants of Vishnu said that Ajamil's chanting at the time of death has destroyed all of his sins. But actually, from the first time Ajamil called his son Narayan, out of all the times he called, all of his sins have been destroyed. It's when he first named his son Narayan. At that time everything was destroyed, he's saying here. Your name will be Narayan. He chanted the names. He was actually, all the sins were destroyed at that time. So, then the question is, why did sin not leave Ajamil after chanting the first time he chanted? The very, very first time he chanted his name of Narayan. Why did the sin did not leave Ajamil after chanting the first time? How could he continue to be attached to the woman, the prostitute, and commit sin for so long if all his sins had been destroyed? Like the karmas of the Jivan Mukta, which remain for some time simply as impressions, Ajamil's sins, which lasted until his death, were like the bites of a toothless snake and did not generate results. Just like a liberated person, Jivan Mukta means liberated in this lifetime, he still appears to be going through karmic reaction, but actually he's not, he's stopped. He's not getting any reaction anymore for his activities, even though he's got to move around, he's got to act in the material world. But it's not due to the influence of his past activities. He's already liberated from that, but he's still acting as if appears to be like everyone else who are acting due to their past impressions, their past karmas is forcing them to act. He looks like he's, but he's actually not. He's liberated, and all of his sins are being destroyed. He's not being influenced by the modes of nature. So, like the karmas of the Jivan Mukta, which remain for some time, simply as impressions. Ajamil's sins, which lasted to death, were like the bites of a toothless snake and did not generate results. Moreover, Moreover, the Lord himself will cause a continuance of sin in order that other philosophies, Karmakanda, etc., will not be completely uprooted, since no one would have faith in all those processes. He is saying here that the Krishna himself will give activities which seem like sinful activities. Krishna is giving, we're supposed to become sinless. Here, for the Jivan Mukta, or the person who is a devotee, is absorbed himself in the service to Krishna, here Krishna says he's not sinful, but Krishna is giving him sin, so-called sin. Why? So in order that the other philosophies, like the Karmakanda sections, will not be completely uprooted, since no one would have any faith in these processes. If Krishna gave everyone mukti and showed it so easily, then everybody would forget about the other processes, Karmakanda. And they wouldn't have faith in that process anymore, because they will see how everybody's being liberated immediately. If one were to explain the scriptural statements concerning the power of the name to be an exaggerated praise of the Lord's name, that would be committing an offense. So the first time you chant the Lord's name, actually you are liberated. That is the injunction of the Shastra, which you become convinced of that. Oh, Parikshit Maharaj was asking this question. After withdrawing from sin, one commits sin again, so I think atonement is useless, like an elephant taking his bath. This was the beginning of the composition. He has condemned atonements because of seeing the tendency for the sin to remain. But he does not criticize bhakti. Parikshit Maharaj is criticizing this process of atonement. I don't think it's going to work, because people commit sinful activities, they go make atonement, they come back and do the same thing. So he's saying it's not going to work. But he's not saying anything about bhakti. He's not saying bhakti won't work either. He's saying atonement won't work, but he's not criticizing bhakti. He's criticizing atonement, but he's not criticizing bhakti. So he knows that the bhakti will work. That is the actual process. There's the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that it mentions here. It says the devotees, they, by the process of devotion, you get three realizations come. First devotion is there, then you get direct experience of the Lord, and automatically detachment comes. When you experience the Lord, Krishna is all attractive, and you immediately become attracted. You get a direct experience of the Lord, and so automatic detachment comes along with it. You don't have to endeavor separately for detachment. We're trying to please the Lord for attachment to the Lord. So these three things: bhakti, direct perception of the Lord, and detachment, they could become manifest just as three things happening when you're eating. You're getting satisfied, you get nourished, your body is getting nourished, and you're getting relief from your hunger. You are very hungry, you eat that, so the hunger goes, you get nourished, and you get pleasure also from eating, you become happy. So in the same way, these three things happen. When bhakti is aroused or awakened, Then you get a direct perception of the Lord. You can feel the presence of the Lord. And automatic detachment will come. So this is the glory of devotional service. Everything is accomplished simply by this one act of serving Krishna under the guidance of pure devotees and in a bona fide sampradaya. Then the effect is it's immediate. It's the same here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nitai Gopremanandi, Hare Krishna, thank you. Any comment, question? It's quiet to you. And Krishna's still there. Okay. Hare Krishna.